As we come to this passage this morning in Luke's gospel, we're going to look and kind of examine what Jesus said concerning faith or concerning hearing the word of God and people's response to that. So what kind of faith do you have? This is the parable of some people call it the parable of the sower and the soils. Some call it the parable of the sower and others that of the soils. And as we come here this morning to look at this, if you would stand with me this morning in honor of reading God's word, we'll read verses 4 through 8 and then 11 through 15. 4 through 8 and verses 11 through 15. And in verse 4 of Luke chapter 8, it says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable." Here's what he said. "A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bore fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried out, 'He that has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Now, beginning in verse 11, we see the explanation of this parable as he looked, taught his disciples. He said, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Then they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity or to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." I want us to look at verses 11 through 15 again in the Amplified Version just to get a quick understanding a little bit more about this. Verse 11 says, "Now the meaning of the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those along the traveled road are the people who have heard. Then the devil comes and carries away the message out of their hearts that they may not believe or that they may not acknowledge me as their Savior and devote themselves to me and be saved here and hereafter. And those upon the rock are the people who, when they hear the word, receive and welcome it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while and in time of trial and temptation fall away. That is, they withdraw and stand aloof. And as for what fell among the thorns, these are the people who hear. But as they go on their way, they choked and suffocated with the anxieties and cares and riches and pleasures of life. And their fruit does not ripen, it does not come to maturity or to perfection. But as for that seed in the good soil, these are the people who, hearing the word, hold it fast in a just, that is a noble or virtuous and worthy heart, and steadily bring forth fruit with patience." Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his suffering and his death all the way to fulfill your will there on the cross. And then rising again from the dead, he with power, your might, and your glory, has declared that all your word is true. And we believe it today. And we thank you, Father, today for this passage that we read. Now speak to us, speak to our hearts, and reassure us, Lord, in the things that are glorious to yourself. And we just pray that you'll bless this time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. As we come to read where this parable is at here, we see that first of all, he began by talking to the crowd. He addressed this parable to the crowd. It says in the first part of verse 4, "And when much people were gathered together." Well, the context of this is, if you go back up to verse 1, is that Jesus went around an entire area of cities and villages preaching and teaching the people, teaching the truth, who God is and who He is, and declaring all the truth that was there. Well, as He did this, and as He healed people and manifested the power of God in very, very many different ways, the people began to follow after Him. And so He came to this one place, and many people had followed Him there. And then He comes and gives this word in a parable to the multitude that was there, to the crowd of people that was there. He gave this magnificent parable to them because they were those who had heard the word. Now what was going to be the result of all of His preaching, of all of His teaching, and of all of His demonstrating and ministry among the people, and the power He expressed everything through miracles and these types of things. So He addressed the crowd at the beginning, but the preaching then changed and turned to His disciples. Later on, when He was alone with His disciples, there's where He came and He gave the explanation of this parable. So the parable is concerned with the way that people hear the Word of God. What heart they receive it in, what they do with it, and the responsibility that they take. But it's concerned with the way that people hear the Word of God, and how the hearers how they hear it and what they do with it once they have heard this. So I want us to, first of all, to look at the parable, and then we will come and look at the meaning of the parable and see the application for life. The parable of the soil. Some call it the parable of the sower and the soil. Some call it the parable of the sower and then parable of the soils. Here, in three Gospels, John's Gospel is different, but in the harmonized Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three record these teachings of our Lord. He records it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark has the most extensive recording of the parables, and even in other things in the life and the ministry of Jesus. It is believed by almost all theologians, if not all, or most of them anyway, that Mark's gospel was written first, and being a very detailed gospel, that others took the example of Mark's gospel for theirs, such as Luke and such also as Matthew. And if you examine this a lot more carefully, you see that there were probably other things there too that Luke used. But he zeroes in not on the sower at all, but on the soils that are there and the seed that is planted there. So this is the parable of the soils according to Luke here in this gospel. Well, a parable is what he speaks in. What is a parable? A parable is a brief story that makes a comparison to life in order to teach a truth. To make a comparison to life in order to teach a truth. So this parable was addressed to the crowd, but then it came to be explained to the disciples alone at a later time. So there in this parable, there are four kinds of soils. The first one, look with me at verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, it was trampled actually, literally, it means it was trampled, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Those by the wayside, that by the side of the road, the seed that fell by the side of the road, whether it was spilled or whether it was intentionally there, it was there on the road where people walked, and it was trampled thereupon, and it would lay on top of the ground, and birds would come down and would eat of that seed. And so that's the first soil, the soil that's found on the wayside. The second soil is found in verse 6. And some fell upon a rock or a stony place, a rocky place. That is, rock that had dirt, some amount of dirt on top of it, and the seed would fall on that. And so some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. That is, it would grow up, and it would wither and dry up almost immediately, very, very soon, on a very short span of time. The third kind of soil is found in verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Among the thorns, it means it grew up together. The idea and the picture is here that the thorns were already there. The seed of the thorns was already there in the soil. And so the sower came along and sowed the good seed, the seed that was there. And over the process of time, then what was sown there came up, but also the thorns came up. And this was a gradual process that took place. And so that was the third kind of soil. The fourth kind of soil found in verse 8. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. Now if you go and read Matthew's account and Mark's account, it says some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And so there was this multiplication. There is this bearing of fruit that is there. And so fell on good ground. This good ground, as we'll see in just a moment, fell on idealistically a picture of being sown on a heart that is prepared to receive it. And so then it takes place there. So then he finishes verse 8 by saying, "And when he had said these things, he cried out." He gave a loud cry. He had stated the elements of this parable. The truth of life. The word of God. The hearers of the word of God. And after making the statement, he cried out with a loud voice to this crowd of people, "The one who has ears to hear, then let him hear." And that's what took place there on that day as Jesus ministered to the people in that area over a process of time. And they gathered around him and there was this large crowd there. And so he gave them this message. But what was it about? What was the purpose and the meaning of this message? Well, the disciples wanted to know the same thing. And you go read over there in one of the other accounts there, Jesus said, "How long is it going to take you to catch on?" And it was kind of a chide, but maybe not too bad there and everything. And so they asked, "What shall this be?" And gives an explanation of that. Then in verse 11, he begins to explain the meaning of this parable. So let's look at verse 11. "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God." So now this is the issue in what our Lord is telling people, but also explaining now to his disciples. And you and I come along almost 2,000 years later. We need the parable and we need the explanation. We need the understanding and we need to have the heart that he is talking about here in this passage of Scripture. So verse 12, look with me there. The first ground, that was sown by the wayside. In verse 12, "Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Do you not find that an amazing statement there at the end? Why did Jesus teach in parables? Why did he speak in parables from time to time? Because he says, and I don't have a, that's just the sovereignty of God. That's one of those things there. He did that so that there would be some that would hear, but they were not to hear and believe and be saved. I can't understand that. I can't explain that. That's what he said. But here are these by the wayside, on the road, on the path of life. There are those that you and I may come across their path. There may be those that turn on the TV set and they may hear Billy Graham, or they may hear Charles Stanley, or David Jeremiah, or many of the other, many godly, true-to-life preachers and pastors that broadcast the Word of God over the television and then other means and other ways as well. But these are the people that are on the road, on the path to life. And they may hear, they listen and they hear, but then their response is that they do not believe at all. Most of those kind of people are going to change the channel if they're watching or hearing it on TV. And if they come into church and has happened to be in a church service sometime, they may just they may not get up and walk out, but they may just turn it off in their mind and their heart. And people do that. And so these are the people that our Lord is describing, the people who have no faith. These people have no faith whatsoever. It is the working of Satan in their life to snatch away and to catch away and to kill the life of any hearing of the truth of God or the word of God. And so, and he does this in many ways. Satan, one of the ways is he convinces them that it's not the truth. Here he convinces people that it's not really important. How many people have you heard to say, I believe, and then they'll give an explanation. In other words, it doesn't make any difference what God says. This is what I believe about God. This is what I believe about church. This is what I believe about the Bible. This is what I believe about sin. And on that scenario may go. But Satan is the author of that. Satan convinces people that is not important, that it is not true, it's not for them, or they have time left, whatever it may be. But the end result of hearing is that there is no faith. Well, then the second ground then is found, soil then, is verse 13. He says in verse 13, then they on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. So this is rocky ground or stony ground. Probably a little bit of dirt there. Dirt and soil, rock and soil there, kind of mixed. And a seed falls there and it germinates and it begins to sprout and to grow. But this is a description of a temporary type of faith. It's not real faith. In reality, it isn't real faith, but it's a temporary belief. It's a temporary faith. And it falls on this rocky ground, and like a seed that falls on the rocky ground. You know, it sounds good at first. How many people do we know? How many people have you known, do you know, or have you heard of? That they receive it. They have a mental consent about the Bible. They have a mental consent about the gospel of God. They have an acceptance. Yeah, I believe that. I believe in God. I believe in that Jesus died on the cross and he died for my sins. And I believe that when he died, they buried him. And I believe that he rose again on the third day. And I believe he went back to heaven. I believe that. And I believe he's coming again. And that's kind of where they're at. And they have mental consent and they accept what they have heard. And they say, yeah, it's a good thing because, you know, also I know that I'm a sinner. And you can talk with some people and talk to them enough that they'll come around and tell you they believe all the right things and the true things of God and that they are a sinner. But somehow or another, because they believed and they may have said a prayer somewhere along the line, they may have even been baptized and joined a church. But somewhere down the line, it becomes about them living their life in a certain way for God to take them to heaven when they die. That's a very common scenario. The young man I talked about, gave an example about last Sunday morning, was such an one. There was one just 2 weeks ago in the jail. The very same thing. He believed all the right things, but he did not have the truth in his heart. And an incredible kind of story type there, a testimony in his life. So these are the people who give this mental consent. They accept the message. They accept the truth. But when it comes down to it and they are put to the test, when there is sometimes it's a commitment to be made, or maybe there's a trial of life, maybe there's a tragedy that comes along, and the tendency of many people is, well, God is an all-powerful God. I believe that. And he did not stop such and such thing from happening to me or to someone else, a family member or a friend or someone that they've heard of, and the terrible and despicable things that go on in the world today, people are questioning, where is God in all of this? People will do that. So when it gets really tough and there's times of persecution and times of great turmoil and trouble, they give up. They fall away. They do not look for God in life. They do not look for God in the circumstances. Now there was the joy that they received it in, and it was there to begin with, but when it came down to the real test, they went away. They fell away. Now, I don't know what kind of faith we could say. I think some would say they have faith, but something was wrong, or they had no faith and still needed to come to faith. They may have had an awakening in their lives. Then look with me at verse 14. The third kind of soil, then the explanation here is that among the thorns, verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Listen to it again in the Amplified Version. And as for what fell among the thorns, these are the people who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked and suffocated with the anxieties and cares and riches and pleasures of life. Now here is the result of the world in the hearts and the lives of God's people. And their fruit does not ripen. It does not come to maturity and to perfection. They hear the word, but because of the worries and the cares of life, and or the potential of riches in life, or the pleasures of this world and this life, they have that it pulls them away. They may truly know Christ. They may truly have been born again, but there's something wrong in this scenario. The things of this world and this life choke out the spirituality of a person's soul and a person's life. It is the cause of failure and disbelief and even probably the lack of victory in people's lives. And so here is this picture. There's the thorns that are there. They start to grow up with the good seed, the Word of God. And it's a gradual process. It's not something that just comes and happens, because then it would be rejected. Oftentimes, Christian people would reject that. But because it's slow and it comes down and takes its way on a gradual way, it's gradually processed into a person's life. But the end result is the same. There is no maturity and there is no fruit being born. So here is an example of those who hear and those who are enthralled about hearing what they've heard, but the care, the things of this world and this life are so much more important to them. And that is that the world all around us, the community all around us, there's a struggle. I don't know if you realize or not, there's a struggle for the time and for the energy and for the focus of God's people. Everything in life and everything in our society is pulling us away, pulling us in a direction away from God and away from His Word, away from His truth, away from obedience, away from doing the will of God. It's very important that we see and realize that what our Lord is teaching here is that the things of this life can come and just choke out the things of God. And that's a warning, I suppose, to some, and it would be a caution to others, and it would certainly be a teaching, an admonition, to make sure that the priorities of God's people are where they're supposed to be. And so then we come to the last one, verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now look at it, verse 15. In the Amplified Version. But as for that seed in the good soil, these are the people who, hearing the word of God, hold it fast, embrace it, hold it fast in a just, that is, a noble or a virtuous and worthy heart. They see and hear the truth of God's word, and it is the most important thing in their life. Remember last Sunday morning in the message, we looked at what Jesus said about denying ourselves and taking up the cross and following Him. It's that kind of a scenario. Here is the good to embrace it above everything else. There's a lot of things in this life and the world, and in and of themselves, they are not sin. But if they take precedence over our relationship with Christ, our service to the Lord, and our faithfulness to the gospel of God, then it becomes sin. The Bible calls that idolatry. Anything that replaces in place of God in our lives, then that is sin. Paul calls it idolatry. So covetousness, which is idolatry, is the words that are used there. So the good ground are those who hear it, and it hits on a true heart. It's those that I will keep the word of God at all costs of my life. I will love the Lord and I will love Him through His Word. I will love Him through times alone with Him in prayer. I will love Him through fellowship with other believers. I will love Him in times of study. I will love Him in times of service. I will put God first place in my life. That's the kind of hearer that our Lord is talking about here in this verse. So to keep it with a true heart, to keep the Word, and it means truly. And then that last word there, with patience, is the word perseverance. It means ongoing commitment. Ongoing, relentless commitment. I don't know about you, but there are times when I find it hard to keep on going. I know what you're thinking, except when I preach. Say you're awake now. I know you're hearing and all that. Perseverance is keeping on. Keep on being faithful. Keep on being true. Keep on being diligent. When it gets difficult, keep on going to the Lord and keep on receiving the grace of God. Sometimes it just gets really tough and really hard. And so that is the scenario that is here. This is the good ground. And that's the example for each and every one of us. Now there's one other thing. Look with me back in verse 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 8. The latter part of that verse. After Jesus had given out this parable, here's what it says. And when He had said these things, He cried out, "The one who has ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, hear and respond to it. Do you realize every time we read the Word of God, we are accountable to God for what we read? Every time we hear a lesson taught out of the Word of God, we are accountable to God for what we hear. Every time we hear a message out of the Word of God, we are accountable to God for what we hear. Every time we hear what God is doing and there's something there for us to take to our hearts, we are accountable to God in those things. So a true heart is one that does all of these things. And so our Lord, what He is saying here, then whatever we hear, we need to take heed and we need to respond to it. Be accountable to God and to respond to Him. And that is in the whatever we hear in our ears, the truth of God that's there, then that's what we need to follow. I want us to bow our heads and to close our eyes this morning as we just come to this time to give an account of what we've heard in this place. You're here in this place this morning. We're all here today. Why did we come? Why did you come? I wouldn't feel right if I didn't come. And it's not because I'm the pastor. It's not because of that. It's because I long for the presence of God when we're gathered together as a group, as a church family. I long for God to be among us and that we know His presence when we're in this place together. Every Sunday morning I come into this place. Even before I turn on the lights, there's enough light in the cross. And I just come and I ask God to be with us, to be in this place. But you know what this parable shows us? Shows us, tells me, and shows us the responsibility that we have Monday through Saturday to the Lord as well as Sunday, but Monday through Saturday. And you know how you and I live our lives Monday through Saturday. We live it mostly for God, and then when we come, we have a fullness of the Spirit of God. And when we come together with that fullness in our hearts, we will experience the presence of God in this place. There are times we'll experience His power in this place. Think back to the week when the youth came back from youth camp. There was, God spoke to so many of them that had the same heart, the same message. The importance of reaching a lost world with the gospel of God. Wonder where all that is at now. Is it, you know, school started back up? I'm wondering where those testimonies are. But at the same time, we were all in this place. We all received the same word, the same message, and that is that we have a responsibility to go to the world and make disciples. We're here again today because we love the Lord. We're here again today because we've come to worship God. I believe that. We come here today that we might know His very real presence in the midst of our fellowship one with another, that God's fellowship is higher and more perfect than we've ever known it before. But when we come with our hearts full of obedience through the week, Sunday is what a blessing. What a blessing. So as we come this morning and we've listened to this parable, I believe everybody falls pretty much into the fourth category of soil. Some may be in that third category, or maybe they're searching and looking. But whatever it is today, God offers you and me His mercy and His grace. We're here today as we come to this time of invitation. We examined our hearts earlier for the Lord's Supper. Now, after the Lord's Supper and after looking at this passage of Scripture, we come and examine our hearts again. Where is your heart for God? Where is your heart for the Lord? Are the thorns of the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life choking out your spirituality, hindering your work for the Lord? Where are you at? Which ground are you on? Which heart do you have? If it's the good one, the true one, then Christ is supreme. God is sovereign. And your heart and my heart is that I love God above everything else. In a few moments, we're going to stand and sing. If you're here in this place and you say, you know, I don't know that I really know Him, then come today. This is the day you need to come to Him. You're here today and you say, you know, there are things in this life, in this world, that choke out my relationship with the Lord, hinders me. You know, what I would just ask that you do, if that's your situation, just on the altar of your heart, before God in this place, whether it's at your seat or if you just want to come down to the altar and then go back to your place, just say, God, I want You on the altar of my heart. I want You there. I don't want to fall into the trap of the cares of this world and this life. I want to love You supremely. Whatever God puts on your heart in this place to do, you do it, whether it's right where you're at, or if you want to come, I'll be down at the front if you want me to pray with you, if you want to just come to the altar and then go back. You do today what God bids you to do and leads you to do in